Hello and welcome into the Fire Me Up podcast. I'm your host, Drew Matthews. Your co-host, Adele Eunice, is here with us. And your returning special guest, Matthew Sandoval, all the way from New Jersey. We're excited to have you here. Yeah. What's that?
I said, what's up, everybody?
What's up is that we're recording on another Saturday edition of the Fire Me Up podcast. So do we have a drink of the week this week, boys?
This past week for the Super Bowl, I picked up a six-pack of Boulevard Space Camper. It's a Giga Hop IPA. It's actually pretty good.
Interesting.
Okay. Sounds interesting. Space Camper.
Adele? Yeah, did you guys ever go to the Boulevard Brewery in KC?
Yeah, it was pretty close to my old work, so I used to go there quite a bit.
Yeah, quality.
It was a regular.
Yeah, we got my own stool there. Okay. Well, I'm rocking with the classic Miller Lite today, so cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate. I'm taking a break this weekend. I'm just drinking a Bang Energy cotton candy flavor, actually.
Can't go wrong with Bang.
Probably not.
Are you an Instagram model now?
Something like that, man. That's what I'm going towards.
If the mood suits him right. Okay, well, first big thing, I know it seems like it was like a month ago, but Super Bowl reaction, Super Bowl 55. That was a wild, wild night, even though it was a lopsided victory. It felt like something crazy was going on every couple of minutes. We had a streaker. We had a goat coronation. We had an offensive line crumble. We had some pretty bad commercials. But Adele, I'll go with you first. What was your takeaway from Super Bowl 55?
I mean, you just can't bet against the man. Tom Brady, we probably already knew this before the game, but I think he's the best quarterback of all time. I definitely bet on Tampa Bay, but they annihilated the Chiefs, and the Chiefs will be back, you know, soon enough, but they were just a better team. They got out-coached, and they wanted it more, so I was excited to see Tom Brady win. I will say I used to hate him when he was with the Patriots, but I have some more respect for him now.
Okay. Yeah. No, I respect the picks. I mean, I respect the picks. Matt, I know you're on the other side of this. What were your takeaways from the game? Besides a headache.
Yeah, there was definitely a headache Monday morning, not going to lie. But takeaways, I mean, I don't think many people expected the Chiefs to perform that poorly. So I think it was a sucker in that regard. I think a lot of people expected it at least a little bit more of a fight. But I mean, yeah. When you said like the O-line crumbled, it's true. I think the Chiefs were missing two of like their starters due to injury and such. But things happen. It's no excuse. Obviously, yeah, Tom Brady is like probably the greatest of all time. But I mean, it's just shit when when your team loses. But you know, stuff happens.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I was hoping for more of a game. I think you're right. The O-line, you know, they were down a couple guys, and they just couldn't stop the Buccaneers' D-line from getting to Mahomes. Like you said, you know, Brady's probably the greatest of all time, you know, definitely in football. But I thought Kelce and Tyreek Hill had a quiet game, and that's probably due to the O-line getting to Mahomes so quickly. But I felt like I was time-warped back into, like, 2007 or 2008 or something. Like Brady and Gronk just slinging it all over the place, and just I honestly thought Gronk might get MVP towards the end of that game. I mean, he was catching everything thrown his way, had a couple big touchdowns, but you know, good win for the Bucks. That franchise deserves it, so good win. And you know, the Chiefs are the team of the future as long as they can get their O line steady.
There's really like with key injuries, there's not much way around it. I mean, to win like the most important game of the year, you kind of need to be healthy. Health is always the most important. But yep. Yeah, it's just a poor game by the Chiefs.
Yep. Just not much you can do when you're just down a lineman. I mean, you can't just plug in other players like you can at maybe wide receiver or something like that. So, good game. What'd you guys think of the halftime performance?
Garbage.
Yeah, what?
Garbage.
Yeah, we had like 100 guys run out with like game worn jock straps on their face. What was that?
You know, there was. I think they were like actually saying like it's the weekend, like trying to like spread awareness to like plastic surgery and all that stuff. Which I mean, and like how people are like fake in that industry. In my opinion, I think it's just kind of silly and stupid. Like people are just. Have the right to do what they want.
There's a man from LA, pro plastic surgery.
I'm gonna stay quiet on that one.
Anyway, I mean that's an interesting take. I didn't think about that. I don't know what you mean by awareness, but you know, if you're not aware that plastic surgery occurs, then you've been living under a rock. But yeah.
Not the fact that like it occurs. The like I think it's like more like the social pressure of like looking good. If like you're in like that like if you're that famous or whatnot, like you have to look the part, something like to that effect. I didn't like read the article. I'm just like saying like that's what I thought.
Oh, there was an article about it.
No, I think there's something out there that like that's what like that's what they were saying on like Twitter and stuff that the Weeknd is trying to like talk about that. I mean, I didn't not like planning to write a research paper on it. I don't like, do research.
Okay. Yeah. This podcast is not based on facts, by the way. That's a famous Brownlee line. But yeah, no, I didn't love the Super Bowl performance. I like the Weeknd. I like his music. But first of all, he flat out stole Richard Pryor's outfit, hair and makeup and mustache. So shout out Richard Pryor. But we got a copycat in the house. So sent that to Adele during the halftime show, and I think he was cackling. But halftime was underwhelming. You know, the commercials for me were underwhelming. I don't really remember a whole lot that stuck out. Do you guys have any ones that you really liked?
Nothing this year, no. Nothing that I can think of.
Well,
I've never really been into the commercials. I'm always like more so like into the game and the beverages and food being consumed.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I think the commercials kind of peaked in like the late 2000s where they were the funniest and most creative. I think now they just kind of lost me. Maybe I'm just getting old, but you tell me. I mean, I remember the commercials being funnier when I was like in high school, but you know. That's kind of a close on Super Bowl 55. But sticking in the NFL, we have big news, not really big news, but some blockbuster trade rumors going around. One of them, well, I've really got three to talk about, and if you guys have others, you can, you know, join in. But the first one I want to go through is Deshaun Watson. He is obviously going to be traded released at this point. Where do you think he will end up, and where would you like him to end up?
I think that's a hot take. You saying obviously? I think they're going to keep him. I mean, isn't he like contracted like another 3 or 4 years?
He said he'll sit out, though.
He did say that.
Yeah, those are rumors, and they let JJ Watt go out of respect for him. I think the right thing to do is let your franchise QB that obviously doesn't want to be there, and they haven't respected him one bit. Well, over his 5-6 years, so let him go somewhere he wants to. And he has the final say on where he wants to go at the end of the day because there's a no-trade clause. And rumors are it's going to be probably San Fran or even Denver.
Yeah, ooh, Denver. I like that. That's a good option. I mean, I think when you're comparing J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson, I think that's like comparing like Kyle Kuzma against like Vince Carter. One is old and washed up and the other is in his prime. So I think they probably should have traded J.J. Watt and got a little bit of money, but... Yeah, Deshaun.
Well, I think it's the respect thing for Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's asked them that, you know, he wanted to stay in the coaching search.
Yeah.
He wanted, you know, to keep DeAndre Hopkins. They traded him away. And I think he's had enough. I mean, the city of Houston has just ruined both franchises. I mean, with the Rockets, they lost Russell Westbrook, James Harden. I don't think they're made for sports. I think they're good for the Houston Rodeo.
Well, I mean, the Astros, that's not a bad team, but...
Nothing good comes out of Houston. I will stand by that statement. Adele, I think you do, too.
Oh, for sure. We will not say why.
Oh, man. We're feisty. But no, I didn't think about that one, Adele. That's a good one. I like the Broncos taking them, and then you got a Deshaun Watson and Mahomes kind of match up twice a year. That'd be awesome. I'd take that.
Oh yeah.
JJ Watt, you know, I think he's in the sunset of his career. He's constantly injured. I mean, he's good when he's healthy, but how many more good years do you have left out of him? I mean, I think things I've been reading. I think one good option for him is the Titans. I think another good option for him that was listed was the Bears. They could have a stellar defense if he joined the Bears and stayed healthy. But we'll see what happens there. Any thoughts on where Watt goes?
Hell, might as well go down to Tampa. You can find the beach and go win a Super Bowl.
That would be insane. That would be insane. He would have to take a big pay cut, but I could see it happening. Can you imagine?
Yeah. I don't think he would want to be a backup.
I don't think he'd be a backup. I think it'd be him and JPP just mauling people.
Oh, did he injure Deshaun Watson?
Oh, we're talking about JJ Watt.
Oh, my bad.
But yeah, no, I think that'd be interesting. The other one that has been circulating that is not quite as hot and maybe not quite as real is Russell Wilson is very unhappy, it seems like, with the play calling. In Seattle, they fired their offensive coordinator, brought in a new one. He's happy about the new one, but he's obviously still unhappy with the way the season turned out. Basically the fact that they don't seem to get any O-linemen to protect him. I mean, if I can compare it to, I watch every Seahawks game, and it's basically like what was happening to Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. That's what he deals with like every game. It's like literally running around for his life, getting nailed, making ridiculous throws that have like a, you know, no percent chance of getting caught. I don't get it. We've gone like 5-6 years. We don't draft any O-linemen. We draft one center who just gets dominated every game. And I don't mean to pile on him, but Ethan Posick is not a good center. He may have been at LSU, but I mean, he's getting dominated every time. And so they need to get O-linemen, and they need to get O-linemen fast. Like, it's just out of control how bad our O-line is. And the fact that they don't think it's out of control, they just think Russell can run around until he's 40. I mean, I don't think Russell will leave, but I want to hear your thoughts. You think he's going to try to demand a trade and go somewhere else?
I mean, what else? There's not going to be weapons around him. Obviously, I'm trying to help him, like you said, with offensive line. I like Russell Wilson. I kind of feel bad for him. I mean, he's running around, like you said, for dear life every play. I would say just come to Atlanta. We got a pretty good team. One of the best receiving corps still. But realistically, yeah, they got to get him out of there. I mean, the guy, he wants to win. He doesn't care about the money anymore, I mean, even though he has one of the fattest contracts in the league.
Well, hold on. He's like $40 million. And let's not say he doesn't have weapons around him. I mean, he's got DK Metcalf, which is an absolute star. I mean, anyone would take him with their first-round draft pick. He's got Tyler Lockett, who's a stud.
A decent receiver, yeah.
His tight end could be better.
Better receiving cores.
Yeah.
Better receiving cores and better offensive lines. And the Falcons have all 5 first-round picks on their offensive line.
Yeah, no.
Are they great? Probably not.
I'd take the Falcons O-line. I wouldn't trade our receivers for the receivers that you guys have, but...
Okay, we got Julio Jones, buddy. Yeah. Calvin Ridley. You're Alabama boys, aren't
you? Yeah, I know, but DK Metcalf is the new Julio Jones, man. Julio's getting old.
You take that back, sir.
What about you, Matt? You think Russell tries to get a trade? I mean, he's getting paid, I think, $40 million a year. So that's a lot.
Yeah, I don't know the salary caps of all other teams out there, but I mean, if no one can match that offer, might as well just like stay put where you are. I mean, it's good that he's voicing frustration because it's an early indicator to the upper management that now your star is beginning to not be happy. So you should at least start to like be a little bit more bold with like making trades or paying more money for better players. So it's an early indicator. I don't think he would be that abrupt to leave right now, but maybe next year if nothing gets done in his eyes.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the good thing about this is it's not like the fans totally agree with Russell and have been screaming this for like 4 or 5 years now. Like, they are not drafting O-linemen, not developing O-linemen, not trading for O-linemen. And it's just like, the guy's running around for his life getting nailed on every other play. It's like you can't win a Super Bowl that way. You may be able to win a lot of games, which we won a lot of games this year. 12 games is nothing to sneeze at, but like, you know, let's protect the guy a little bit. I mean, we were spending $40 million a year on him. Let's try to draft some O-linemen. I think calmer heads will prevail, but I think you're right. If it just is a disastrous year or something like that, yeah, he may look somewhere else. Okay, moving on. We've got a fun topic before we hit the break. It's a little different, and it's not a mainstream sport, but it's a sport that is close to home for the podcast members, both Adele and I, Brownlee and Matt as well. Matt tried out for the track team at Kansas. So yesterday we have an incredible day. If you follow track and field at all, we had like 7 or 8 guys run under a 4-minute mile midway through the season, which is unbelievable. Adele, do you kind of want to speak to what that means?
Yeah. Although I removed myself from the track and field world, other than watching Bryce Harper and Hopple, and
Bryce Harper. Yeah, Bryce Harper runs a hell of a quarter.
Yeah, right. That's a tough task for anyone. I mean, back in the day, they said no one could ever run under a four-minute mile. Now you have 8 guys already. Season's still early, and these guys aren't peaking anytime soon. It just shows you how technology's helped sports, and I mean, the way these guys train is different than back in the day. But yeah, hell of a feat. I mean, hell of a, you know, whatever they're doing over there is great. I don't know if they're in high school, college. I wish I could tell you guys more about what's going on in the track and field world, but I know nothing.
All right, that's going to be a soundbite for future episodes. I know nothing. No, I mean, so 4 guys ran under a 4-minute mile at Oregon, or for Oregon yesterday. And I was surprised. I wasn't surprised by that, but they also, so Oregon lost their men's and women's distance coaches a couple years back, who are kind of the masterminds of Oregon distance over recent years. They became the head, they're a married couple, but they became the head coaches of University of Washington. So I was kind of surprised that they bounced back so quick. But four guys under four-minute mile is ridiculous at this point in the season. We're just midway through the indoor season, which is ridiculous. And we had other guys across the country. We had one guy run under 4 at LSU, and LSU's distance program is terrible, so that's impressive. You know, it's impressive. And we've got guys running 45-second quarter miles like it's nothing now. I remember when we were in college, Dale, you remember a guy named Dion Lindor? He was like the only guy that was running 45s. Maybe there was one other.
Yeah, the A&M guy, right?
Yeah. Shout out Dion. But now people are just running it like nothing. It's pretty insane. Shout out to my former athlete, Champ Allison, for running a 45 this weekend. That was cool to see for Alabama. But I'm excited. But so enough about that. But I kind of want to pose a question. There's been rumblings that the Olympics may not even happen this summer. And I don't like to talk about COVID too much on the show because everybody in the world talks about COVID ad nauseum. But do you guys think an Olympics is going to happen this summer? It's supposed to be in Tokyo.
Yeah, they posted the 2020 Olympics, and they thought they were going to be able to do it this year, right?
Yeah, so what happened, it was supposed to be last summer, and they postponed it to this summer, but I've kind of read some rumblings that it may not even happen this summer. So what do you guys think?
I don't think that would happen. I mean, they're saying that the majority of Americans are going to receive both doses of the vaccine around summertime or by summertime. So my gut tells me I don't think that would happen, but that's just me.
Yeah. What about you, Adele?
No, I read that same article talking about, secretly they said that Japanese government has already kind of canceled it, but that could be just fake news. I'm not just vaccinated. I don't know about the rest of the world and the fans and, I mean, traveling. I want to watch the Olympics. I mean, I really hope it happens, but I just don't think it's going to happen again this summer.
Okay. We got some conflicting viewpoints. You know, I'm just going to say I don't know, because it seems like this virus kind of comes in waves. Like, you know, in March we discovered people had it. And then it slowly built up, and it took a little dip, and then it built up again, and then it dipped again. And now we're in, you know, it really spiked towards the end of fall, and now it seemed to dip again. And I don't even know if all these lockdowns are working. I don't know. It just seems like it kind of comes in waves. But, you know, I hope we have it. I know I saw one cool thing that Florida is basically offering to host the Olympics if Japan backs out. I think that would be cool. The state of Florida.
Florida.
Yeah.
Florida hasn't worn masks ever, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. Florida has been open pretty heavily for quite a while now. They are the fastest vaccinating state, which is pretty fascinating. So, you know, who knows? I just hope what happens, whether it's in Japan, whether it's in Florida, whether it's in some bubble somewhere. But, you know, it's a lot to, it's not just one league. It's, imagine basically bringing like 200 athletes from each major country in the world into one spot. So it's, you know, it's difficult to do logistics wise, but I hope they get it done. I'll be excited to see it. So, so the second half of the show, going to be lots more laughs, a little bit less serious, but we're going to hit the break here and we'll see you in just a minute. Hello and welcome back into the Fire Me Up podcast. I'm your host, Drew Matthews. We got Adele Yunus and Matt Sandoval here. We're moving quick. We got a lot to cover. So I wanted to open up the second half of the show talking about our question of the week. So what I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking about the coaches I've had in my life and in track. And the question of the week is, if you could play for any coach in any sport, who would it be? So to preface this, this could be someone that's alive. This could be someone that's from, you know, a long time ago. They could be dead or alive. And so I'm just going to go around the table here and get people's answers. And if you feel like answering the question, you can text me or text Adele, and we'll get your answer in the next episode. So Adele, what's your answer to that question? Or you can even have a couple answers if you want.
Oof, this is a tough one. So for my college football pick, you know, everyone probably go with Nick Saban, but I'm going to go with a different pick here. Probably one of the best college football coaches. I'm going to go with Dabo Sweeney.
Okay. I can see it.
Yeah, he's still fairly young. I mean, he produces a lot of great athletes. And not just great athletes, but just great men. I mean, he's a man of God, and he knows how to mold people. And he keeps a clean program. I've never heard anything bad come out of that area, or out of Clemson. I like Dabo Sweeney. Just, I mean, if you watch his interviews, you know, see how he interacts with people. He's big in the community there. I think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I definitely played for Dabo Sweeney, college football player.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
Go to Clemson, though. Go to Georgia State.
That's a great pick. Yeah, I feel like you have a similar personality to him. I don't know him, but I've watched interviews and stuff. You guys have a similar personality. Now, I will point out that he is a product of the great state of Alabama and the University of Alabama, so that's probably why he's so good. But what about you, Sandoval?
So if I could pick a coach, I think, okay, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he I think he's a Hall of Fame coach for, I think was he at IU? He was the coach that he would always, like, throw chairs and hit players.
Bobby Knight?
Yeah.
Bobby Knight. That guy was always fired up. I would play under him.
You know what? I love that pick, Matt. I love that pick. He is so fired up, and he's such a disciplinarian. Like, I love it. I'm all over that. Bobby Knight. I love that pick from you. I did not see that coming.
What a crazy.
Can we get your pick, Drew?
Okay, so I got a couple. One, and I've said this for years now. Like, I would love to play football at Oklahoma for Barry Switzer. Barry Switzer is just like what I would. He just has so. He has so much swag. He's got all the national titles, and he loves to run up the score on people and then crack open a beer at halftime. So that is my kind of guy. Who knows if I'd start, but Barry Switzer's got a lot of swag and smart guy, cool accent. So I'll go with Barry Switzer. Are you familiar with Barry Switzer, Adele?
him, yeah, the one with the funny looking hats.
Funny looking hats. That's Bear Bryant, but good try.
Definitely not safe for Bear Bryant.
But he coached Brian Bosworth and a bunch of the Oklahoma Stars back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And then he coached the Ben Brownlee's Dallas Cowboys to a Super Bowl in the 90s. So, good coach. Funny man. But my backup, and I'm surprised you didn't pick this guy, I'm 100% playing for Mike Leach at any university. Mike, I like quirky guys with some personality. I like Nick Saban, but he's got zero personality. So I'm going with Mike Leach at Mississippi State or Wazoo or Texas Tech. So Mike Leach all the way.
What about our boy Lane Kiffin?
You know, I've never met Lane. He seems like a funny guy. I've heard some stories that don't paint him in a great light, but
fake news.
Lane Kiffin. I'm surprised you didn't go with Lane Kiffin. You seem like you like to go for the coaches that were shamed out of one school and then go to another and have great success. So I'm surprised.
Hey, because I believe in second chances. I mean, you look at how huge Coach Freeze. He had a mini scandal when he was at Ole Miss. Yeah. Now he's doing well out in the city. Lane Kiffin was left at the airport. I think it was in Tennessee or no, with USC. Now he's doing well at Ole Miss. It's all about second chances. That's what life's about.
Well, Lane Kiffin's on his like fifth chance. He was the head coach of the Raiders in an alternate universe like 10 years ago. Lane Kiffin left Tennessee after one season in the middle of the night for another job, and he was fired on the tarmac at USC, which is hilarious. And now he's doing well at Ole Miss, or at least he's got a good offense. Yeah, you know, if I were to pick coaches for Adele, I would assume he would go with Lane Kiffin, Hugh Freeze, and then Art Briles. Adele. You're breaking up. But Adele is attracted to coaches that are just embroiled in scandal. So. Adele loves like the good old boy network. He just wants to be a part of the football coaches' good old boy network. I feel like. Adele, you're breaking up on us.
You hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying they're just molding lives as well. And, I mean, what's bad about giving athletes a second chance? We all mess up.
Yeah. No, I'm with you for the most part. So. Okay, moving on. We need to go to the gambling corner. Matt Sandoval has recently entered the gambling world to a really, really interesting beginning, but but he's hanging tough. He's hanging tough. I know Adele's got money on the Can't Lose Parlay, so I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for the big cat, the Can't Lose Parlay has lost, no questions at this time tweet. So what's going on, Matt? How'd you get into this? What did you feel like on Super Bowl night before and after, and what caused you to continue?
Oh, wow. That's a story. So I've never gambled before. I'm not much of a gambler, but for some reason, my girlfriend Kelly, before the Super Bowl, the night before, she was like, hey, like let's just some of her friends were gambling, and they said, let's just gamble a little bit. And right when she said that, I was like, all right, let's do it. I'm going big. So I said, should we talk numbers? Is that appropriate on the show?
Anything, you know what? Go for it. Whatever you're comfortable with.
All right. So I've had money sitting in my Schwab for a little bit that I was waiting to invest in stocks, but I wasn't pulling the trigger. So I decided, you know what? I'm not spending. I'm not investing it. It was just sitting there. So I decided that I was going to move it into DraftKings. And I bet on the Chiefs, and I bet $34.50.
Hey, hold on one second. Adele, we're getting lots of feedback from you. Can you mute your phone for a second?
Yep, my bad.
All right, go ahead.
So I bet $34.50 on the Chiefs and not $34.50. but basically... It was money that I was okay losing just because it was just sitting there. basically the Chiefs, they lost that game in the first half, and basically like the first, second quarter, and I was just, I was over it. I didn't really, I knew I already lost my money, but, so I wasn't like mad about that. I was more so mad about the fact that the Chiefs just played like crap. But now, now I only have it in my DraftKings. I started with, now I only have $243 in there. So basically now I'm just like betting little by little on games that like I'm like comfortable betting on, and my goal is to not deposit any more money, but to use that $243 and have it like be a snowball effect, see what I could do with it.
Okay.
So I've been betting for the past 3 days, and I've taken that 243. Right now I'm up to I think like 360, 370.
Okay.
So little by little, but
brick by brick.
Yeah, I have faith.
Yep. Okay. Adele, you said you hopped on the Can't Lose Parlay today, which is a huge mistake, but let's hear it.
Yes, sir. All right. So we got two, actually.
Oh, hold up. So did you bet on TJ Yeldon to be MVP? I don't know if you did that or not.
You know what? I did not. he's bound for a comeback. He is.
Yep. I'll never forget that on our NFL draft or fantasy draft segment with Brownlee. You're like taking TJ Yeldon like first.
You gotta believe in the Bama boys. So we got a big can't lose parlay here. However, I might lose it because Florida State is in overtime right now with Wake Forest.
Positive vibes only.
Yeah. So we got Xavier beating Connecticut, easy win. Florida State is supposed to be Wake Forest. Florida State's 17th in the country, and they're a deep team. They got a really good defense, and I don't know how the hell Wake Forest sustained with them. But we're all right. Oklahoma State, Kansas State. I'm pretty sure Oklahoma State just got the job. You got a great Ohio State team that's supposed to whoop on Indiana. Oklahoma, West Virginia. I got West Virginia. Take me home. Tennessee, LSU. Going with Tennessee. And, of course, Texas, TCU. We got that easy win. Going particular Texas. Got a couple other parlays there. But that's my can't lose parlay for the day. If I lose that, I will be tweeting at Big Cat and complaining.
Yep.
A lot of bets over the last couple weeks.
But do you not understand the tweet? I mean, every week he sends out this tweet, the can't lose parlay has lost, no questions at the time. And you still ask questions at this time?
But, yeah, that was a joke about it. I've been doing pretty well on this parlay, but I only put like $5 to win like 70. I've lost a couple here and there, but I've actually been betting on tennis matches that I know nothing about.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah.
We have a complete degenerate gambler on our hands. Betting on tennis matches.
I blame my coworkers. They play tennis, so they know what they're talking about. But if you see me at a rehab facility for gambling, blame my coworkers.
Well, you know, Saban runs a pretty successful rehab facility for, you know, shamed coaches that have flamed out other places, so you can go there.
Yeah, me and Art Briles, we'll be there.
You know, Adele, I think the key is, as long as you don't keep on depositing money into your account, I think that's okay. I mean, or are you...
Dude, I started off with $50, and I haven't deposited anything. I won a 150 parlay on an NBA game 2 days ago. So, yeah, I'm not putting any money in just because it is kind of sketchy throwing it in there because it is a outside, you know, gambling site. We won't, you know, I'm not going to incriminate myself, actually. Just know, just don't use the site, actually. next topic, huh?
Okay, I'm not a gambler unless it's at the blackjack table, so...
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it is legal in Tennessee, though, so when you guys come up, you guys can do it legally. So that'll be fun next time you guys come up.
It's legal in New Jersey.
Oh, it is. You know what? I think New Jersey was like actually one of the first states to legalize it. But Adele, yeah, when you come up, once it gets a little bit warmer, you guys can come up. We can hang out. We can go to the pool. We can go to Broadway. You guys can gamble on women's tennis, and it'll be a good time. So, so closing out the show, we got our What Made You Laugh This Week, and I'll go ahead and start today. What made me laugh this week is there's a video circulating around Twitter. Some guy is getting arrested for something, and he tries to flee from the police, and this Texas woman just absolutely tackles him to the ground like a linebacker. And it's been circulating around for a while, but one of my favorite captions was Southern moms really know how to hit hard, and it just shows her leveling this guy. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out on Twitter. Just type in mother tackle or something along those lines, and you'll see it. But did you guys have anything for this segment this week?
Yes. Young lady. Well, actually, she's not a young lady. She's probably like in her 30s.
Whoa! Don't talk about. That's a young woman.
Oh yeah, young woman. Sorry for the ladies listening. You guys still have a lot of life to live and keep working out. There was a girl that put Gorilla Glue in her hair, thinking that it would be, you know, it would keep her weave intact. Which, you know, it sounded like a good idea. Sounded like a good idea.
No, it didn't.
Actually, I feel bad for the girl. I thought it, you know, maybe not Gorilla Glue, but anyway. So what happened was it just got stuck on her head, and she had to go through surgery.
Oh.
Legit operation.
Oh my gosh.
Circling around the internet, and I was like, why would someone think this is a good idea? I think she was saying, my head is burning at one point. I think it was funny after it got off. At first I was a little concerned for her. But now, yeah, it's funny looking at it now, but yeah, maybe don't put Gorilla Goo on your skin.
I like it. Sandoval, you got anything this week?
I had a crazy work week. I wasn't too involved in like social media other than like my DraftKings and like gambling on at nights. So I don't really have something that made me laugh other than me laughing at myself in regards to the fact that I picked up gambling. So yeah, right now I'm essentially laughing at myself, and I'm in recovery mode.
Okay.
But quick question. Do you think so? Kansas, they're playing KU basketball. They're playing Iowa State, who's like basically damn near winless. Do you think I should bet on Kansas -12, meaning they would have to win by 13 points?
Well, what did they win by last time? 20. That was only a couple days ago.
Oh, we had like back-to-back to Iowa State.
Yeah, we just played Iowa State, and we're playing them again.
Yeah, but now we're playing them away. Okay, we can talk about that offline.
Okay, I had one more, and Adele, you're going to love this one. So I think it was Barstool Georgia tweeted out asking for people to roast them, and the Wendy's official Twitter account tweeted at him and said, please don't eat here, because if you do, you'll choke that like you do every other national title game. And I burst out laughing when I saw that at the office. So, Georgia.
How dare you?
I think they actually...
I go there for my breakfast every now and then. They have a nice 2-for-4 honey chicken biscuit, you know?
Oh, really?
But I'll remember that. Yeah, I'll definitely remember that next time I go by the Wendy's.
Well, can I interest you in... Have you ever been to... Do you guys have Bojangles in Georgia?
We do. I don't think there's any around me, but I've been to Bojangles. I usually go there when I go to Tuscaloosa, actually. Or when I used to go visit you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Bojangles is really good. You know, I'm amazed. Like, okay, this is gonna piss off a lot of people, but I think Bojangles is better than Chick-fil-A.
What? You got a lot of hot takes over here, Drew. Cause Chick-fil-A is—I mean, maybe because you're not from here, but we have that every. I mean, I used to have a chicken biscuit every day before school.
Yeah.
They used to sell $2.50 in the hallways, hot, fresh, ready to roll.
Yeah.
But that's a hot take there.
Well, no, I mean, I know you were brainwashed as a child and indoctrinated into believing that Chick-fil-A runs the world, but Bojangles, chicken filet biscuit, you cannot beat it. Well, you might be able to, actually.
Matt, what do you think? I mean, you're coming from the West Coast.
Yeah. I haven't had a Bojangles, I don't believe. Chick-fil-A is good. I really don't go there all the time. I mean, also because like where I live right now, it's the closest one is like a 30-minute drive. But I don't know. I can't speak to this because I haven't had Bojangles. I guess my biased opinion would be Chick-fil-A, because that's all I've had out of the two.
So do you guys just eat, like, salad up there, like a bunch of yard waste, or what?
I like to cook my food fresh, you know. I'm trying to support small businesses.
Okay. So, essentially, yes, is the answer that you were giving me. And that's a Brownlee joke, by the way, so credit to Ben Brownlee for that yard waste joke. But, I respect it. I will say nothing hits better than the All-Star Special at Waffle House. Adele, have you had the All-Star Special?
Huh?
Have All-Star you, Special. At Waffle House?
You know what? I actually go with the double waffle every time. I mean,
really?
I put some chocolate on there, and then I'll go with some hash browns with smothered and jalapenos. That's my go-to.
What's the difference between smothered and covered? Because I know one of them is they literally just throw a Kraft single on your hash browns.
Mm-hmm. Smothered is where they put way more. They put, like, I think it's like double the amount they put.
So two Kraft singles?
Yeah. Just know that your stomach will be on fire the next morning.
Okay.
While you're eating.
Okay, so yeah, I like where this conversation has gone. It's gone off the rails, and that's part of the tradition of this podcast. So, favorite breakfast spots, Adele, we got Chick-fil-A. Me, I'm at a tie for Waffle House and Bojangles. Sandoval, do you have a favorite breakfast spot? It could be. It doesn't even have to be a chain. It can be a unique spot.
So there's this place called PJ's Pancake House here in Princeton. It's actually really good.
Okay. Is it just pancakes, or are there other things?
No, there's other options. There's other options, but
okay.
I think they're most, like, known for their pancakes. But I'm not like really a big pancake guy. Like putting like all those like sweet things on it, like Nutella or strawberries. It's like it's too much for me.
Okay, so do they have syrup there, or do you have to bring your own, or do they just give you a limp pancake, no plate, no syrup, or what? I mean, what is this?
They have like a few options of syrup.
Really? A few options?
Yeah, I mean, just like IHOP, you know, like how they have there's the original syrup, there's like blueberry syrup, there's like flavors of it, like pecan syrup. They kind of like have like the same thing like that.
Okay. So is there an option where you can throw a salad on top of it?
Throw a salad on top of your pancakes? That's okay. A little weird, my guy.
I'm done. I'm done. All right. It's been a pleasure having you all here with us on a Saturday edition of Fire Me Up. Matt, Adele, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I know. It was a good time. We will see you next week on Fire Me Up.